Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone. So glad that you're here tonight and worshiping with us on this Christmas Eve. I want to welcome all those who are watching online in the 715 area code and all around. I believe maybe my in-laws are watching from Bemidji, Minnesota. Hi, Byron and Mary, looking forward to spending time with you. But isn't this great? Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Amen. Can we just give praise to God for his gift of Jesus into the world? Is everybody ready for Christmas? Is there anybody who has already opened their gifts? Everybody, some of them, we did that this morning. Thank you very much. Michelle understands the theme that I like. I'm a big Ohio State fan, and thank you, sweetheart, for that hoodie. That was very nice. Christmas is the season for giving. And I just want to just make note of how this church, Thrive Church, how you have given in this past month and a half or so. For Christmas, this church blessed, the children's ministry put together 50 shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child, able to bless 50 children overseas. Thank you, church, for your participation in that. Also, Thrive Church also was able to bless 50 families from our giving tree. Amen. And not only that, we just celebrated here. Yeah, that's a great, these are great things. It's the season of giving, but not only that, and we've talked about this here, but we're so excited that for our one-day offering, we gave $21,000 to feed 175 children all around the world in third world countries to be able to have nourishment for one school year. So just give yourselves a hand for that, the giving. These are awesome gifts. Isn't it great when you receive the most ultimate gift ever? But there's no gift that is more amazing than this gift that we just sang about here, Amazing Grace, this gift of Jesus, God's gift into this world. That's what Christmas is all about. I love how the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. He talks about Jesus, and he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." It's indescribable. It's just so amazing. And that's what's so amazing about Christmas, is that indescribable gift. You can't even hardly describe it, what it does for us. And so we've been in this sermon series here, and we're finishing up our sermon series called All I Want for Christmas. You know, we get lots of things that we really like for Christmas. But let's face it, there is no thing on this earth that can really satisfy the longing that is in our hearts. What is the thing that your heart is longing for today? What is the one thing, like, you know, that a thing can't fulfill? And we talked about things like hope, peace, joy. I'm just convinced these are the only things that God fulfills in our hearts. I think these are what we're really looking for comes from God's gift to all mankind. If we look in Luke chapter 2, the angels proclaim to all mankind that what we're looking for has arrived on this earth. This gift that God was talking about. Let me read it for you. Luke 2, 8 through 10, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" You see, the angels were declaring a birthday party. It's a birthday party. They're like, "Hey, everybody, shepherds, everybody, get excited. We're going to have a birthday party." the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord that you have been looking for, has now come into the earth. He is born today. And who is this Jesus that is spoken of? Well, the angels declared it, and he said, this child that is born to you today, you need to understand that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah that you've been looking for. A Messiah is one who comes to deliver people from their oppression. He's the one who redeems what is broken. And he says, also the Lord. You see, they were looking for a leader, and that's what a Lord is. A Lord is a leader who directs them in a direction of peace, hope, and joy. You see, all of these titles, listen to me, all these titles that the angels proclaimed about Jesus, they all depict one who saves people. I'm here to tell you, what's so wonderful, what's so great about Christmas? I'm here to tell you the words on this cross, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's so great. That's the one thing about Christmas. So that's the title of tonight's message, our Christmas messages. All I want for Christmas, all I want for Christmas is salvation. Salvation. Maybe you feel like you need to be rescued tonight. Maybe you just feel like, oh my word, I need to be taken out of this. Please, maybe your heart is crying, please, Lord, get me out of the mess that I'm in. Have you ever been there before? Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're here for a reason. You know, there was a survey of Christmas shoppers, and the question is, what do you need to be saved from? I know I was one of those late Christmas shoppers yesterday. I've learned my lesson. I promise I've learned my lesson. Don't do that again. But they said this, I need to be saved from my worry. Some said I need to be saved from my debt. Others, and I think I saw them yesterday, I need to be saved from my anger. Some were saying I need to be saved from my past. Maybe that's you tonight. You need to be saved from your past because you just can't let it go. You need to be saved from a bad habit. Or maybe you need to be saved from yourself. You see, when we think of this word salvation, it's one of those words that you hear in church a lot. We can get a very narrow mind view of that. And like, well, of course, salvation, it means to be saved from hell. Well, yes, that's part of it. But I believe that God has so much more. I believe that Christmas is the celebration of God's salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, I want to point out to you as we look at the cross, and I just want every time now, from this moment on, every time that you look at a cross, I want you to think that Jesus saves. One more time, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's the whole purpose, the whole message of that's why Jesus came into this earth, is so that he can bring you salvation. You see, Jesus, as proclaimed by the angels, is a savior. A savior is a person who saves someone from imminent danger. Have you ever cried out to a savior before? And have you ever been in a situation and maybe you're a car accident, maybe you're drowning? I'm a chaplain for the Wausau Fire Department, and last Wednesday I did some ride-alongs. Maybe you saw this on the news. But there was an emergency. I won't give you all the details, but there was an older gentleman who went ice fishing. And he went into a part of the river that was very thin, and lo and behold, he went in. For 5 to 10 minutes, scrapping, pulling at the ice, trying to get out. God saved this man because there was three Army reservists some 20 or 30 yards away. They were sitting in their hut. Do you hear something? Help me. Help somebody. Help me. Save me. Help me. Like, yeah, I hear that. They got out of their hut, their fishing hut, and they crawled on the ice, and they tied jackets together, and they slid out, and they were able to pull that gentleman out to safety. You ever needed a Savior before? You ever feel like you're in a situation in life, I just wish somebody would come. Would somebody please come and save me? The good news is Jesus came to save you. Somebody would say, is this really a Christmas message? Oh, this is what the message is all about. Jesus saves. Jesus, number one, Jesus came to save you from your sin. I'm going to realize it or not. And some people, again, is like, is there a sin? That's really a Christmas message. It is. It is. You see, your sin, well, I just confess, your sin and my sin is really, if I was to really narrow it all down, that's the biggest problem in my life. It has caused more problems, more regret, more resentment, more pain, more heartache because of my sin. And then Paul tells us this. He says, listen to me. It's not just your problem. It's everybody's problem. He says, for all. Everybody say all. All. Just look at the person next to you and say, you're part of the all. You're part of the all. Okay? So don't think that you're all. For all of us have sinned. And we fall short. That's what the word sin means, is to fall short. You see, the problem is universal. And I'm just feel it right now. I know some of you are sitting there like, not me. No, I'm all good, man. You don't know. Maybe you like to see my Christmas presents, and then you'll see how good I am. But this is universal. I'm sorry to say, yes, even you. Here's, you know what the Bible says about this? The person who says, oh, not me, not so much. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that that person is either a fool or they're a liar. You see, we all got this thing, okay? So listen, I think it's just better if we just own it. We just own it. Maybe you don't need to say it out loud, but under your breath, say, yeah, I'm a sinner. Doesn't it feel good to get that out? It felt good. I need to be saved. Sin is any action or attitude that denies God his rightful place as first place in your life. It's as simple as that. Let me say it one more time. It's any action or attitude that denies God his rightful place in your life. Again, I just speak for myself, okay? The sin in my life has caused me more pain, more heartache, more regret, more confusion, more worry, more fear, more anxiety, more sickness in my life. Some people may say, well, how do I sin? What does that look like? I found this acrostic for sin. And the acrostic goes like this. I sin when I'm, number one, selfish. Selfish. You know that you're struggling with sin when you're... Selfishness is when it's all about me. And this is our nature. We're just kind of born that way. Ask any parent. Nobody needs to teach their infant child about selfishness. It just naturally, like, where did this come from? He's just like you. It's just like you. It's because of you. But when we get selfish, we know that maybe we're just stuck too much on ourselves, that maybe sin might be taking root. Or maybe I sin when I ignore God. In other words, we just kind of have this attitude. We don't say it out loud, but it's like, I really don't need him. And you know, this time of year, I never really got this, but some people put Elf on a shelf. Well, when we are sinned, sometimes we put Jesus on a shelf, right? We put Jesus on a shelf. And we like to do what we want to do. And we don't like anyone telling us not to do what we want to do. We struggle with authority because we know I don't want to do that. I sin when I'm not doing what I know to do. You see, the Bible says that it's not only the things that you do, but sometimes sin is when you don't do what you know you should be doing. I'm talking about a lot of things here. But all I know is this, that sin can be habit-forming. It can be habit-forming. I sometimes struggle with biting my nails. I know I shouldn't do it, but it's just a habit. And I've discovered that sin can be like this. And the Bible says it becomes so consuming in our lives that we actually, the Bible says that we become slaves of sin. You know, here's the Apostle Paul. I mean, he wrote so much of the New Testament, and he did so much for the work of Christ. I mean, he's just such a godly man, such a model for godliness. And you read this one passage in Romans 7:15, and you hear this man, like, it sounds so pathetic. But he talks about this thing that takes place within him, this sin nature. Let me just read it to you, and you can read along with me. He says, I do not understand what I do. Can anybody relate right now? I don't understand why I do that. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin living in me. How many of you know, I just feel like he needs to go see a therapist here. He's like, man, you need help. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil, the sin I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin that living in me that does it. Sounds like slavery to me. And instead of slavery, the salvation that God brought into the world through Jesus gives freedom. It sets us free from the depression, the oppression that Paul describes here. And I know this again, salvation for me, what it has done for me is it has given me freedom from the guilt of my past. I know that my salvation has brought to me, it has delivered me from the bitterness and the resentment that I have carried in my life. And believe me, it's been thick at times. I know that this salvation has brought to me, it has delivered me from the expectations that I have from others. I no longer am I dependent and looking on man, but I'm looking at God, and I just focus on him. It's delivered me from addictions, and I know so many other people, friends of mine, that God has set them free. They'll tell you, like, the only thing that worked was God. That's the only thing that could set me free from that addiction. And you know what else? It has set me free from the fear of death. So Jesus came to save you, and it is more to save you from hell, but to save you from your sin. Jesus, number two, he came to save you for a purpose. I read this, that three of life's biggest questions we ask ourselves is, why am I alive? Why do I exist? Have you ever found yourself asking that question? Maybe you've asked the question, does my life even matter? Is my life significant? Maybe you've asked a question, what is my purpose? I want you to know this, that God never created anything without a purpose. Oh, I want you to know today, if you hear anything in this message, this Christmas message, please know this. Number one, that God loves you with an everlasting love, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God loves you. Please receive that today. And please understand this, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Paul tells us this. I love this. Ephesians 2:10. He says, for we, he's talking about me here. I like it. I like when the Bible talks about me. For we, every person in this room, we are God's masterpiece. You see, what God has done is he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are a masterpiece. I'm holding before you a masterpiece. You saw it self-destruct there a little while ago, but it is back together here. And what I'm talking about here is a clock that my father-in-law makes. And he makes multiple of these clocks. And if you go to his home, if you want to drive to Bemidji, Minnesota, and you say, hey,
I'm Pastor Sheldon's church, and he told me about the clocks you make, and he said if I asked you, you would give me one. And so I'm not going to give you the address, but I promise you, if you get there, he will give you a clock. And it's so cool. This is in my office, and it even has on the back of it, handcrafted by Byron Lundmark. It's a masterpiece. We have them throughout our house. And it's just every time we look at these clocks, we're reminded of him. It's one of a kind. It's unique, and it's functioning with its purpose in mind. Not only does it tell time, but the beauty of the clock, crafted by hands with a purpose and plan. A block of wood was shaped into this. And I think what Paul is trying to tell you is that this is you. God took you and he formed you. Even before you were even conceived, God had a plan and purpose for your life. And he took your life and he put you all together and said, I got wonderful plans for you. There's purpose and you are significant. You were created. And see, where we run into problems is when we try to find our purpose on our own. It's like, no, God, I ignore your purpose. I want to do my own thing. You see, when we work properly when we work within our purpose. Did you catch that? We work at our best when we're working as the masterpiece that he created. Number three, Jesus came to save you by his grace. So we sang just a little while ago. That's why I said I want that song to be put in the Christmas service because I want it to be remembered. As we're in a season of gift giving, this wonderful gift of grace that God has given to each and every one. I think all of us can relate to grace. Maybe you have a story of grace. I'd like to share with you a story of grace from a member of our church.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mary DeWall, and I go here to Thrive Church, and I also help out on the praise and worship team. It really started when I was 3 years old. My father ended up passing away, and right after that happened, my mom, she was like praying, and she's like, Lord, you know, what do? I have this little girl, and she's missing that father figure. And my mom told me as clear as day, the Holy Spirit told her, you need to put her into praise and worship. I created her for praise and worship. And then it was not quite a full year, I find myself sitting in the front row next to our choir director on Sunday mornings while the bass player is on my left and while his wife was playing the piano. And so through all that, if we fast forward, there was an incident that took place at the church that I was going to. And in youth, I hung out with, some awesome friends and some girls, right? And you just cultivate these friendships and these relationships. I just started noticing some things that were just not quite right. There was this gentleman that started going to our church and he didn't know anything. And this friend of mine, she ended up telling me on how she just had this huge crush on him. And conversations just became weird. He didn't know anything about what was going on. We ended up going to a different church. And I ended up one day receiving a phone call from a detective. She went to court and she filed 12 different complaints against him. And when I was 19, I remember being called up to the stand and I looked out and on her side were all of my old friends, people I called family, were all sitting behind her and supporting her. While on his side, there was no one. Thank God. They found him not guilty on all 12 accounts, which was absolutely right, and that was correct. Through that, I had a seed of unforgiveness take place, and I struggled with it. I struggled with it a lot. And God had to show me through that. He goes, you have to forgive. You have to let go. When you forgive and you let go, His peace is then able to come in. And when I did that, I felt this weight lift off of my shoulders. And I just felt His amazing peace and His love. But most importantly, I felt His grace. And last year, we had a women's conference here, and we had so many women here. And I was on praise and worship, and when I looked out, I could not believe it, because there, sitting at a table, was my very first music teacher. And next to her, it was my friend. Her mom was there, and several other ladies that I grew up with. And I kind of had that inner battle inside of me, and I'm like, Lord, what are they going to think of me? And I went up to them, and I introduced myself. And when they realized who I was, the tears started flowing, and the excitement, the restoration on how God just was able to restore. And it was because of His grace and His mercy.
Grace, grace, grace. What the world needs more of is grace. You see, the opposite of grace is the word condemnation. And I'm sure we all have been in that place before. A few years ago, my wife and I were going to surprise her mom for her birthday. And so, yeah, we were kind of, we left late, and so we got to get on the road, and I'm moving pretty fast, and all of a sudden, like, oh, those are like little red lights, like following me, red and blue lights, and like, oh, yeah, this, look at this speedometer, and like, oh, roll down my window, do you know how fast you're going? Yes, sir, so when you say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, like, that's, say those things, because maybe, you know, and so I'm thinking, well, we're in Minnesota, and the whole Minnesota nice thing. No, it didn't work. I must have been wearing a Packer hat or something, because I was there was no grace, and I got a big fat ticket that day, and I was left in a state of condemnation, and there was a big ticket. And maybe you're here today, and that's maybe your view of God, that He's just waiting. He's just looking and waiting, ready to catch me. Catch me doing something wrong so He can, like, gotcha. Gotcha, yes. Another point against you, another point. Boy, you're going to have to work to get this back. But that's not what Paul says. You see, all the religions of the world, I'll give you a quick theology lesson. All of the religions of the world have this checkmark system. And you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And you must do this, and you must do this, and if you must do them really good. And if you do them good enough, then maybe you'll please God. But Paul says, no, 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 erase that from your mind. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. You've been hearing about presidential pardons here. There's nothing that the prisoners did where they deserved the pardon, but they were given grace. And all of us in this room, we talked about our sin, and we can't fix ourselves from this sin. But God says, let me give you a Christmas present. Let me send you my son, Jesus. This Jesus, He's going to save you, because what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Jesus saves, and He saves you by His grace. And this grace is free. It cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. It's not like, let me take a moment on this. It's not like, I'm not going to give away any information here, okay? But it's not like that guy who comes down the chimney. Hint, hint, everybody's with me on this. Hint, hint. And what do we sing about him? There's a song written about him. So Santa Claus is coming. Can I just read the lyrics to you? Okay, let me read it. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. Because, okay, all right. And what's he doing? He's making a list, and he's checking it what? Checking it twice, and he's going to find out because he's coming to town. All right, all right. And he sees you when you're, and yeah, you know this song. So he knows if you've been bad or good. Good, all right. So you better, and you better not, and you better not. I'm telling you why, because Santa Claus is coming to town. And we laugh when we see that song, but for us, there's some of you who are here today, and that is your view of God. That's how you see God. And so I've got to get better. I've got to do better. And Paul says, but it's not by your works. It's a gift. And besides, you can never in a million lifetimes, like ever, work your way out of this. It's a gift. And it's free. And it's for you. And all you have to do, listen to me, all you have to do is receive the gift. And how do you receive this gift? You receive it by faith. Just say, yes, God, I do believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And I do believe Jesus came into this earth to save me. And I believe he's alive today. And I invite him to come and live inside of me. And I want to live my life under that grace, no longer striving to become better and do good works, but just living in your grace. And Paul tells us it's for everyone. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'll tell you this, John 3:16 tells us it's the only way to God. I want us to begin to prepare ourselves for communion. I know the little ones are all anxious to open their gifts here. Has everybody received a communion cup? It's just everybody, just raise your hand if you did not receive a communion cup. We serve an open communion here at Thrive Church. You don't need to be a member of Thrive Church. But listen to this next part. In 2010, in the country of Chile, there was 34 miners who were working in this mine, and they were 2,300 feet into the ground working at a copper mine, and there was an explosion, an eruption, and these 34, one was able to escape. 33 men were trapped 2,300 feet into the ground. They were 3 miles from the nearest entrance. They were trapped. They were hopeless. It took them 17 days to be able to even reach them with a drill bit. And they were only able to, just a small drill bit to get down there. I mean, when they pulled the drill bit back, they found a note. There's 33 of us. We are down here. And we are alive and well, and we hope you have a plan. And so when he found out that these men were alive, all of these countries got together, and they started working. They came up with a plan. Man, we got to come up with a plan, come up with a plan, come up with a plan. After 69 days, they were able to create a capsule where a person could get it. They slid this capsule down into the shaft of this place and just squish a guy in there. They had been fasting for a while, so they could fit, and it was a tight fit, but one by one they pulled the men out, and these men were saved because somebody up above sent down the solution. I said, you can be saved. We're not going to leave you there. Your situation is not hopeless. You are not condemned. You can be saved. All you have to do is get into the capsule and allow that capsule. Trust the capsule. Trust us. You can be saved. And that's what the gift of God is, Jesus. Will you tonight, I don't know where you are in your faith journey tonight. I don't know. But if you have not trusted Jesus to be that capsule to save you, will you put your faith and trust in him? Will you put him? He has so many plans for you. He loves you. He wants to live in relationship with you. This is not about religion. This is about relationship with your Creator. And so before we take communion, if you would like to pray that prayer with me to receive Jesus, will you just bow your head with me? And say, God, I need you. On this Christmas Eve night, I now understand the gift of your Son. Jesus saves. Will you save me from my sin? Will you forgive me? Will you come into my life and be my Lord and Savior tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you have just entered that capsule. You were saved. Thank you, God.